Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3. I thought we should sing a joyful song just before this sermon, because as we consider the matters regarding power for living, we have to confront the obstacles to that, as we consider today, things in the flesh that make you go weak. Thankfully, there are no hymns about the flesh that make us go weak, but there are hymns that give us joy in our heart as we follow the Lord. But vital subject, this is what we would call a textual sermon, in that I have a text from 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3 that will be the basis upon which we will jump from there to other places and discuss this matter of things in the flesh that make you go weak. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the power you give us to live, and part of that power includes the joy in our hearts, knowing that you are always with us, that your grace is sufficient to our every need, and that we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. Lord, there are things that would bring us down, weaken us, and prevent us from fulfilling that mandate you have given us in the Spirit. So help us today to understand the warning signals, the warning signs, the dangers that face us in the flesh, that we may overcome them and walk in the Spirit. I pray for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Weaknesses in the body make a person susceptible to all kinds of problems. For example, if your immune system is weak, your body is vulnerable to the attack of all kinds of diseases. In exactly the same way, weaknesses in your flesh can make you susceptible to all kinds of spiritual problems. For example, this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3, where it says, "For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" Carnality is the same as walking in the flesh. Carnal, flesh, same word, concept. And as a result of carnality, there comes envying, strife, and divisions, and all kinds of things like that. God wants us to be strong. He says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Yet God is very much aware of the weakness of our flesh. If you recall, Jesus said to his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane just before he was arrested, "Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak." So God wants us to beware of the flesh. You remember those signs that people put out? Beware the dog. We must beware the flesh. Beware the flesh so that we can be strong in the Spirit. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, he tells us that Christ suffered for us in the flesh, so that we would no longer live the rest of our time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. And then there is Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. We'll look at it again this morning before we are finished, but I believe that Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16 is as important to the Christian life as John 3:16 is to a person's salvation. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." What is the flesh? Let's go to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7 and verse 18. Perhaps some of you will remember some years ago when we were preaching through the book of Romans and we came to chapter 7 and I made a distinction in the passage between the words I and me. I relating to the spirit and me relating to the flesh. For notice in Romans chapter 7 and verse 18 it says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh," there's a connection between me and my flesh. Verse 20. "Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." Verse 21. "I find that a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me." And verse 23. "I see then another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." Sin dwells in me. Evil is present with me. And there is a law in my members that entices me to sin. It is thus with the flesh, according to verse 25, that I serve the law of sin. My body is a vehicle. I'm riding around in a vehicle. The body is not really me. Body is not really I. The body is a vehicle. But I am only a passenger. I'm never really the driver of this vehicle. As an unsaved person, the flesh is in the driver's seat and takes me and my body wherever it wants to go. When I am born again and the Holy Spirit comes into me, he pushes the flesh out of the way and the Holy Spirit takes the driver's seat. But now the flesh still wants to drive. So it keeps reaching over and trying to grab a hold of the steering wheel. Did you ever have that happen when you're driving? Somebody else is trying to grab the steering wheel and turn the car? That would be chaos, wouldn't it? Well, our lives can often be chaos. Because of what it says in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17, if you'll hold your place here and look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17. It says in Galatians 5:17, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things you would." So when we're born again, the Holy Spirit has got a hold of that steering wheel. But the flesh is in conflict with the spirit and constantly trying to re-engage that steering wheel. And if we yield to the flesh rather than the spirit in our lives, even as believers, we can go the way of the flesh and walk as men. For you see, the flesh doesn't do any good thing. Romans chapter 7 and verse 18 says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." In fact, the flesh does a lot of bad things. Galatians chapter 5 verses 19 to 21 give us the works of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 19, it says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, which is the violation of the marriage covenant that God has ordained for men; fornication, which is the violation of God's moral law for men; uncleanness, which is moral impurity that results from fornication and other like things; lasciviousness, which is the rejection of all rules and any manner of restraint; idolatry, which is having other gods before God; witchcraft, which is the wicked use of drugs to manipulate the mind and the body; hatred, being an enemy; variance, causing contention; emulations, which is unrighteous indignation." You've heard about the righteous indignation? Well, this is the unrighteous version of that. "Wrath is unrestrained anger. Strife is forcing people to take sides. Seditions is causing dissension. Heresies is causing divisions. Envyings is a discontent within oneself for the blessings that others are experiencing. Murders is just outright killing. Drunkenness is intoxication. Revelings is riotous partying." And this is not a complete list, because it says, "and such like." The flesh does many bad things because the flesh does no good thing. And the flesh wants to keep you from doing what you want to do in the Spirit. As we go back to Romans chapter 7 and verses 15 to 17. One of the favorite places that I have in Scripture to read, it sounds like a riddle almost, doesn't it? "For that which I do I allow not, but what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." Let me put it like this. I do something, but I don't allow myself to do it. So why did I do it? I wanted to do something, but I didn't do it. Why not? Rather than doing what I wanted to do, I did something that I actually hate doing. How come? If I don't do what I want to do, it is not really I that is doing it. It is sin that is dwelling in me that is doing it. Because the sin that is dwelling in me is the enemy of the Spirit. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. When the flesh gets a grip on that steering wheel, you can want to do right all day long, but you won't. So we have this instruction in Ephesians chapter 4. Beginning in verse 21. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 21. "If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Here's what the old man says, verse 25. Go ahead and lie. Tell a lie. No one will get hurt. And you'll be the better off for it. But the new man says in verse 25, put away lying. Speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. The old man says in verse 26, go ahead and be angry. Let him have it. But the new man says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. There is this constant conflict in our lives. Yes, the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit is against the flesh. As a believer, we should want the Spirit of God to be in the driver's seat and direct us onto the path of righteousness for Christ's name's sake. But the flesh loves to get a hold of that steering wheel and turn us in another direction. However, Scripture says clearly, going along with the truth that we can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us, that we can put off the old man. We can work with the Holy Spirit to push the flesh out of the driver's seat and prevent the flesh from determining the direction of our lives. You see, the Scripture is rather clear that there are a few things the flesh absolutely cannot do. Romans chapter 8 and verse 4. Romans chapter 8 verse 4 tells us that God wants the righteousness of the law to be fulfilled in us. It says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, this is not the legal aspect of the law, which we follow dutifully out of obligation for fear of retribution. Rather, this is the Spirit of the law that we submit to out of gratefulness for what Christ has done for us. But the flesh cannot support the righteousness of God. Verse 3, Romans chapter 8, verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The law made its attempt to fulfill its righteousness through the flesh of men, but the flesh was not strong enough to support it. And in the Old Testament, all of those who sought to please God without faith by doing the works of the law collapsed under the weight. Structural integrity is an aspect of engineering. This was something that folks had to learn over the years gone by as they built bridges. On May 24th, 1847, the new railway bridge over River Dee collapsed as a train passed over it with the loss of 5 lives. It was designed using cast iron girders reinforced with wrought iron struts. The bridge collapse was the subject of one of the first formal inquiries into a structural failure. There were actually a number of bridges that collapsed over the years that were constructed with cast iron, because cast iron doesn't have the strength to support the weight of a train. Finally, in 1890 in Scotland, they built the fourth, F-O-R-T-H, the fourth railway bridge, made entirely out of steel. And that railway bridge is still in use today, and as many as 200 trains cross it every day. Amazing. The flesh is like cast iron. It has the appearance of strength, but not the substance of real strength. The flesh can convince you that you can do things that you really shouldn't be doing. Or the flesh convinces you that you don't need faith and all of that. You can do it on your own. But the weight of the righteousness of God is too heavy to be supported by the flesh. And every time you try to do good in yourself, your life will collapse in despair. It is only as you learn to walk in the Spirit by faith that you can do and fulfill the righteousness of God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 8 tells us another thing the flesh cannot do. Romans chapter 8 and verse 8 says, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Now, it is the will of God for us to walk in such a way as to please Him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 1. "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more." God wants us to please Him. He wants to be pleased with us. But there is a requirement that Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 makes very clear is necessary in order for us to please God. And what is that? Faith. Hebrews 11:6, "For it is impossible to please God without faith." So when it tells us in Romans chapter 8 and verse 8 that they that are in the flesh cannot please God, what is that telling us? It's telling us that the flesh is the antithesis of faith. It's the opposite. The complete opposite in concept. Faith pleases God. The flesh cannot. And the flesh cannot support the work of sanctification. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. While we are told in verse 1 of that chapter that it is the will of God that we please Him, in verse 3 it tells us that this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye abstain from fornication. But in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect in the flesh?" You see, sanctification could be defined in this way, as perfecting holiness. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1 says, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's a good definition for sanctification. Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, he says, the will of God is for us to be sanctified. In other words, the will of God is for us to be cleansed from all the filthiness of the flesh and perfecting holiness in the fear of God. But the flesh cannot do that. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 3 says, are you so foolish, having begun in the spirit, are ye now made perfect in the flesh? That's absolutely impossible. Look in Romans chapter 7 and verse 5. Romans chapter 7 and verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. That's what the flesh produces. The fruit of the flesh are works that produce death. Have you ever mistaken salt for sugar? How many of you put sugar in your coffee? In your tea? How many of you put more than one spoonful? Now imagine, a lot of you just drink it black, I guess, and don't drink. I don't drink coffee at all, so I don't put salt or sugar in my coffee. But imagine if you put a couple of spoonfuls of sugar in coffee, it has a sweetness to it. Imagine if you mistook salt for sugar and put a couple of teaspoons full of salt in your coffee. What would it taste like? Do you think you'd enjoy it? Now, when you look at salt and sugar, can you tell the difference between the two just by looking at them? If there's a pile of salt and a pile of sugar, and you're 10 feet away, can you see the difference? Now, if you get right up on an eyeball, you might see the difference between the grains. But there is a similar appearance, is there not? You see, the flesh has the ability to make things look good that are actually bitter. And we must learn to avoid the deception of the flesh, because the flesh cannot support the righteousness of God. It cannot please God, and it cannot bring us to sanctification. How do we overcome the flesh? Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If you're in Christ, the power of the flesh has already been broken. The flesh does not have the right to have power over you and determine the direction of your life. The power of the flesh has been broken by what Christ has done for you on the cross. And when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, He grants you this wonderful truth that the affections and lusts of the flesh have been crucified unto you. Consequently, the solution becomes very easy up in verse 16 of this chapter, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Now, isn't that a simple enough statement? It's not a complex statement at all. It's a simple statement. If you walk in the Spirit, you will avoid the influences of the flesh altogether. So how do you walk in the Spirit? Is it some mystical thing? Is it some mysterious thing? No. It's really very simple. What did Jesus say the Holy Spirit would do when the Holy Spirit would come? John chapter 16 and verse 13. John chapter 16 and verse 13. Jesus said, howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. Now, if somebody is guiding you, isn't that the concept of they're walking in front and you're following them? They're in the lead and you're following their lead? Wouldn't that include the concept of walking? Now he says when the Holy Spirit's going to come, this is what He's going to do. He's going to guide you into all truth. Then, very shortly after that, as Jesus is praying to God the Father in chapter 17 and verse 17, look what Jesus says. Jesus says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And then we have the verse in Ephesians chapter 6 that says that the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. Put it all together, and I think it's very simple. When he says, walk in the Spirit, and he has informed us when the Spirit's going to come, he's going to guide us into all truth, and the Word of God is truth. So the Spirit is going to guide us into an understanding of all of the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, at the end of the chapter, it explains how nobody knows what's in the mind of God except the Spirit of God. And he gave us the Spirit of God that we would know what's in his mind. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. In other words, the Holy Spirit guides us into an understanding of the Word of God. If I'm walking in the Spirit, I am merely following the Holy Spirit through the pages of Scripture. And if I am heeding the instruction of the Holy Spirit in the Word of God, this will keep me from the influences of the flesh. I would suggest, mark it down very simply. The proportion to which you avoid the influences of the flesh is in direct relationship to the amount of energy you apply in following the Spirit through the Word of God. The more you study the Scriptures in submission to the Holy Spirit, the less the flesh will have influence in your life. The less time and energy you apply to the Scriptures, the more you will be susceptible to the deceptions of the flesh. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 14, he tells us to make no provision for the flesh. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, he tells us not to use our liberty as an occasion to the flesh. And in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3, he tells us to have no confidence in the flesh. Well, the way we do any of those things is by walking in the Spirit. I want you to learn that verse. I want you to memorize that verse. I want you to write that verse out on a piece of paper and stick it up on your refrigerator. Do everything you can to remind yourself of that statement in Scripture, because it is so important and so powerful for the Christian life. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. If we want to be strong in the Lord, we cannot let the flesh steer us into unclean activities. We must learn to walk in the Spirit, and He guides us into all truth. And the promise of God, the promise of God, is that if we walk in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful promise. It is sad when we see the influence of the flesh in our own lives, in any believer's life, and see those things like strife and division come about. You've made it very simple, Lord. It's a simple plan. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth through the pages of your word. If we'll simply follow him, listen to him, heed the Spirit of God's ministry in our life to guide us into all truth in the word of God, we will not be interested in or allow the influences of the flesh in our lives. Teach us to walk in the Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name.